Kaya Wanju, this is Breakfast with Mark Patrick on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio.
It certainly is. It's about 29 and a half minutes past 8 o'clock now on Noongar Radio, Thursday, April 13th, 2023. Yes, it's Friday Eve. It's also pretty much the eve of a total eclipse of the sun coming up next week, around 7 days away. And I've got Dr. Robin Cook, astrophysicist, UWA, ICRAR.
Getting your tongue twisted. Oh,
mate. Oh, you've got so much stuff
on people,
there. Yeah. All right. The ICRAR, Radio Astronomy Research.
That's right.
International.
Yes. International Centre Radio Astronomy Research. Quite a mouthful. That's why we stick to ICRA. It flows off the tongue a bit nicer.
ICRA.
That's right. Based at UWA. We do a lot of astrophysics research here in WA.
What's astrophysics for those of us who don't know?
Right. Yes. Well, physics, just it's the understanding of the world around us. And then the astro part, as most people know, it's space. Anything that's not on this planet, we're interested in trying to understand.
Yeah. And that's all about what physics is all about. That's understanding things.
Understanding the world around you.
Yes. Much confusion out there about what science actually is. We're always open to new interpretation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So we want to talk about the eclipse. Tell us, you're going up there on Monday.
One of the lucky few, maybe the lucky 20,000 that have secured accommodation and flights and travels to get up there.
That's the hardest thing, trying to find somewhere to stay. You can't do it now, that's for sure.
It's kind of a special eclipse in that sense, because it's only really just nicking the coastline of Western Australia around Exmouth. And other than that, it's hitting a few islands in Indonesia and Timor-Leste.
Okay.
So only accessible place in the world really for this is the Exmouth and Ningaloo Reef area.
All right, so most people know how an eclipse forms, but for those who don't?
Sure. So, yeah, total solar eclipses here. It's when you have the sun, the moon, and the earth all lining up in a row, right? And what's happening is the moon is passing directly in front of the sun and essentially blocking it out completely.
We're going to play a couple of words from our sponsors and we'll come right back to this conversation. And I'm still talking with Dr. Robin Cook, astrophysicist from UWA, the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research.
Bang on. Nailed it.
Excellent. All right. So next Thursday, the 20th of April, Ningaloo region is going to experience a total solar eclipse. Now, there's lots of different ways to look at eclipses, and it depends on where you are. Exmouth's going to have the best view.
Oh, absolutely.
In Australia. But we will see a partial here in Perth.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, when you have these solar eclipses happening, different parts of the world will see different aspects of it. So, for those up in Exmouth, as you mentioned, the moon will completely cover the sun. So, the entire face of the moon will completely block out all of the sunlight from the sun. But everywhere off of that eclipse line, what we call the totality line, which is the crossing Exmouth, we'll see a partial solar eclipse. And this is one of these other types of solar eclipses where you have the moon only covering a part of the sun itself. So in the case of Perth, you'll see about 70% coverage of the sun, which sounds like a lot. But I kind of liken it to being like a cloud going overhead and blocking out the sun temporarily. That's the kind of like difference you'd expect in the sunlight.
And you still can't look at it.
Definitely can't look at it. In fact, even those that are up in the Exmouth region shouldn't be looking directly at the sun without any kind of specialized sort of solar eclipse looking glasses.
Okay. Do you want to tell people why?
Yeah, look, the sun itself, it's a big blazing ball of plasma, right? And it's, you know, millions of degrees hot. So even looking at it for short periods of time is going to do, you know, almost irreparable damage to your retina. The problem with solar eclipses especially is because you are blocking out bits of the sun, the impact of that damage can be sort of offset by some time. It doesn't immediately show the symptoms. So all the while you're looking at the sun and these UV ultraviolet photons are entering your eyes, very damaging radiation, you're not realizing it until many minutes after that damage has been done. So this is
when you still can see the sun in your eye and you're not actually looking. You've probably got your eyes closed by then, but you can still see the sun.
You're seeing a reflection of the sun after the fact, right? So don't look at the sun. What you can do is a few different things. You can use solar eclipse viewing glasses. This will block out majority of the sun's light. Or what's often suggested is getting a piece of paper, putting a pinhole through it, and many school students will know of this trick, letting the light of the sun pass through that hole and project itself onto maybe a piece of cardboard or the ground below. And what you'll see is the crescent of the moon covering the sun and a projection of that, of what's happening up in space down onto the ground.
All you have to do is focus it.
That's right.
Okay. So it's going to be going in a pretty narrow path. which includes Exmouth and Barrow Island and the eastern parts of East Timor and also parts of Papua New Guinea, actually pretty much through that northern peninsula to Australia's north. It's going to be passing through there and out into the Pacific. And I understand there may be some concern about what's going on over the Pacific.
Oh, yes?
Yes. What? Somebody told me, and I'm guessing it's a conspiracy theory. Somebody said to me, oh, it's going to lower the temperatures over the Pacific.
Yeah, I think it would do, absolutely, yeah. I mean, because, you know, when you're blocking out the sun of the light, you know, you're completely removing all the heating effect that it has on the Earth. The temperatures around you will drop pretty significantly. Wind direction will change because, of course, you've got a gradient in your temperature now. So, absolutely, you'll see drops in the temperature.
Immediate changes, but no long-term effects.
No long-term effects at all. So,
that's where I doubted that conspiracy theory I heard.
Exactly,
I said, you've got to be kidding. It's only going to be like 5 minutes. What's going on?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, no, the effects are long-lasting, they're going to be there for a while. And I said, no, I'm going to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, I think whoever you were talking to had a few...
yes, I did too.
ideas there. I think you were onto him, Mark.
All right, so where else are we going to be able to see it in Australia? Just about everywhere, or...?
Yeah, so this only really stretches down to, at most, Albany, you know? So it's really a Western Australian-only solar
eclipse. Oh, that's a nice change. We get something to ourselves
for once, exactly. So, you know, and so for the people up in Exmouth, that's only 57 seconds that it has that totality occurring. So it's not a very long eclipse, and that's partly because of this hybrid nature, and you might have heard this term thrown around, this hybrid solar eclipse, because it is itself one of these hybrid eclipses. Only 3% of the time will you have a solar eclipse be hybrid.
What's the difference between hybrid and any other type of total solar eclipse?
We have a few different types of solar eclipses. I mentioned the total solar eclipse, where the moon completely covers the sun. We mentioned the partial one, where you've got the moon slightly sort of only covering pieces of it. And then you have a third one, which is called the annular solar eclipse. And that's when the moon is a little bit further away from the Earth, so it looks smaller, and it's not quite big enough to completely cover the sun. So you're left with a ring, what we call an annular, of light from the sun. And so the hybrid nature of this eclipse is that when it starts its journey across the face of the Earth, it will be annular. By the time it gets to Exmouth, it'll be a total solar eclipse, completely covered. And when it escapes, it'll be again an annular. So it switches between this annular and total.
How long does it take for the eclipse shadow to go from one end of its beginning to the other?
Yeah. It does depend on where you are again, but for, let's say we're in the totality line, it would take about 3 hours from start to finish.
So it's going to be a long process.
Yeah, so 3 hours, you'll see the crescent of the moon slightly encroaching on the sun, and then, you know, another one and a half hours, that's the totality, and then another 1.5 hours for it to leave behind the sun.
Any other ways you can actually look at it? Maybe with welding glasses or something like that?
Yeah, I've heard welding. I mean, these solar eclipse viewing glasses are based on the material that goes into welding glasses, but there are certain guidelines that you need to follow. Certainly don't be using sunglasses. I know it says in the name sunglasses, but they're definitely not potent enough, not opaque enough to allow you to look at solar eclipses, just so you know.
Exactly. So anything a little bit more about the research that you guys are doing when you're going up there to check this thing out?
Well, I think, you know, one thing is we sort of solved solar eclipses since Newton sort of dropped his universal law of gravitation. We sort of understand that the sun and the moon and the Earth, they have this orbiting system that allows these solar eclipses. But I think one thing we often forget, I mean, and we talked about how rare this eclipse is, right, this one in Exmouth, but what people often forget is how rare eclipses are in general as a planetary sort of system.
Exactly. Right? Well, I've been here on this planet for 63 orbits, almost 64 orbits around the sun, and I probably could count on one hand the amount of times I've seen a solar eclipse.
Right. Exactly. And you're a travelled man as well. So you're travelling around, you know, and what we often say is that for any given location on Earth, you'd probably see a total solar eclipse once every 400 years, give or take, right? That can change quite dramatically. But for any given place on Earth, that's quite an infrequent number of times that you'll see a total
Very
solar eclipse.
Very much so, which is often why ancient peoples actually didn't even know that they were going to be coming up.
No, predicting them is even harder still, right? Lunar eclipses, which is the opposite, where the Earth is blocking out the sun from the moon. Actually, it's a little bit easier to do because the Earth's big and the moon's small, right? So you're just more likely to do so. They happen more often, and those were actually very predictable. And we have records of ancient civilizations being able to track the days, the months that these things would be occurring. So that itself was known. But these total solar eclipses, completely unpredictable in their nature.
They really are completely unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, we think we have a control of it now, and people say we can predict the next whatever thousand years of them, but this takes incredibly precise measurements to know exactly when this tiny object, the Sun, and this tiny object, the Moon, are going to interface with one another.
Well, I would have thought the three-body problem would have had a little to do with the...
Yes, exactly right.
It's inexact nature of being able to predict. Is that right?
Well, the problem is, you've got the three-body model, which, as you just, was a pretty hard problem to solve, but it was solved in, the early 1900s, and this is just the nature of three gravitational bodies interacting with one another.
Total chaos.
Two things interacting with one another, simple, solved. But when you've got a third element in there, it just goes exponentially difficult. The problem is, tides on the Earth stop the rotation of the Earth itself and slow it down and speed it up. That can have an effect on where the solar eclipse is going to occur. The Moon itself is processing and rotating and moving in and out. All these different tiny little effects can change from being a solar eclipse to not being a solar eclipse. So it's tiny little nuanced details. And I think we've got it all solved now. But as I said, it's a... It was a difficult process to get to. Now, but I wanted to say, look, we often glorify how rare these solar eclipses happen, but we have over 200 moons in the solar system around all the other planets, Jupiter and Saturn and whatnot. There is only one moon, where it's exactly the right size and exactly the right distance that it exactly looks like the same shape as the Sun on the sky, right? So the Moon itself is 400 times smaller than the Sun, but it's also 400 times closer, right? So it looks like it's exactly the same size, and that's the reason we see solar eclipses.
It's pretty staggering coincidence.
It is. Absolute coincidence.
But it is only a coincidence.
Because, a cosmic
and
coincidence.
Lots of people really don't understand that the Moon is retreating from us.
That's right.
It's actually getting smaller as we look at it,
right.
And it has been since it first formed,
mm-hmm.
And they're still discussing how it first formed.
That's right.
But it was much bigger in the sky thousands and thousands of years ago because it was so much closer.
Right, which meant you got more total solar eclipses. Total solar eclipses were more regular. Now they're getting rarer and rarer, and at some point you'll never see another total solar eclipse. You'll only ever see these annular ones where it's not quite big enough to cover the Sun completely. You get a ring of light around the Sun left over. So,
and as it gets further away, it'll be a tiny little dot.
A speck in the cosmos, exactly.
We've got quite a few moons circling around us at the moment. I've noticed that we're pulling in asteroids from left, right and centre. And the JWST has noticed one that's further out, and it's apparently coming off the plane of the ecliptic, which is where all the planets are circling around the Sun, for those who don't know. So those sort of things, do they have any effect on the orbits of, like, maybe the Earth and the Moon?
Yeah, I mean, look, these things are tiny in comparison to the Moon, right? They're very small gravitationally. So they do have some pull, right? But more so does the Earth and the Moon pull them away from their orbits. And when we talk about these other moons, they're generally transient moons. And so they're moons for temporary amounts of time, maybe a few hundred years, maybe 10 years, they'll be orbiting the Earth. But then they'll go on their journey and head elsewhere into the solar system. So the Moon itself, our own Moon, is the only permanent satellite or moon of the Earth. But we get these occasional interlopers, if you will, that come in and visit us. But even these little things, right, even these small objects, even things like Jupiter's pull, Saturn, has an effect on our position in the Earth and in the solar system. And so these are these kind of nuanced effects that I'm talking about when we're trying to predict solar eclipses. Very difficult to
and
do.
The Sun is also circling the galaxy.
That's right, hurtling through the galaxy.
How fast?
Well, it's you can't even talk about speeds at this point, right? We're talking about...
No reference point?
Is no reference point. Well, it's partly that, and it's also these numbers are far too big to even give any meaning. But, the Sun itself will do an orbit, right? And we talk about orbits being the time it takes to
around the galaxy, around. About 96,000 years.
Exactly, 96,000 years to take one orbit. But the galaxy is itself ginormous. So
100,000 light years across or
something like that? 8,000 kiloparsecs. I talk in kiloparsecs, not in light years these days.
See, that's what the difference between a professional and an amateur.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, exactly. These numbers are so big that our human minds that really have difficulty comprehending what that actually means. Like, we have a connection to it, but we don't have maybe an understanding of what those numbers mean, right? So it's less to do about the numbers at that point, more to do with the
It's actually about
the
perception, isn't it?
That's right, the
because
perception.
Because things look like they're still, we think they're still. They're not.
No, we're hurtling around on
if
a
If you
rock.
Were lying on your back, in the middle of nowhere with no light pollution anywhere. You can actually see the progression of the stars across the sky if you wait long enough.
Absolutely, yeah. But you have to be there still in the moment, you know, making measurements or taking observation while you're doing it. Otherwise, you'll never notice it.
I kind of missed doing that when I was a kid. I got to play some words from our sponsors and I'll bring you right back.
Hiya, are you considering uni? Coolbardie Aboriginal Centre's award-winning K-Track Enabling Program offers a culturally safe alternative pathway into university. Based at Murdoch Uni's South Street campus, this 14-week program aims to remove barriers to accessing education. It's free to complete and students receive full support from the centre. And you just need to sit a writing activity to gain entrance. Contact the mob at Coolbardie on 08 9360 2128 to find out more or go to murdoch.edu.au/Coolbardie. That's K-U-L-B-A-R-D-I. Murdoch University Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan. Or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Telstra, station sponsor.
About to reach for your mobile, weren't you? Well, don't. If you're on the phone, get off the road.
This is a community service announcement from Noongar Radio.
From Noongar Radio.
This radio station, through its parent company Kodich, is supported by the federal government's National Indigenous Australians Agency.
The Breakfast Show with Mark Patrick on 100.9 FM and digital Noongar Radio.
It certainly is, and it's about, about 12 minutes to 9 o'clock now on Noongar Radio. Thursday, April 13th, 2023. Yes, it's Friday Eve, and I'm still talking with Dr. Robin Cook, astrophysicist from UWA. I'm not going to go through the research centre thing. So, one last question I've got before I let you go. What time should we get out there to look?
Yeah, right here in Perth. Well, like I said, you know, it takes something like 3 hours to go from covering slightly the sun to all the way across its full passage. But the peak of eclipse for folks in Perth is about 11:20 a.m. on April 20th.
Okay.
11:20.
20 past 11, people, get ready.
Yes, should be very exciting.
Excellent. Thanks for being with us on Noongar Radio this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, Mark.